Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reshow. Halfway home on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. We can open up the phone lines here because I'm going to ask you a question. I'll state the question as well. So, William Andrews in 1981, what a monster season that he had. 1,301 yards, 10 rushing touchdowns, and then he caught 81 passes for 735 yards and two touchdowns. Now, why do I bring it up? And by the way, too, he was first-team Pro Bowl, second-team All-AP. He was the AP Offensive Player of the Year. Oh, sorry, no, he finished eighth in Offensive Player of the Year. He had 1,300 yards rushing and 735 yards in receiving. That receiving number is the all-time record for the Falcons in a season. And by the way, 2,036 yards from scrimmage that year. Now, he would be better than that in 1983 when he ran for, ready for this number, 1,567 yards and caught 59 passes for 609 yards. That's the second best mark by a running back in history, for in Falcons history, I should say. So here's what I'm asking. As we hear about, you know, Bijan Robinson, right, they're playing positionless football and all this good kind of stuff, right, that they, that you know, they're going to use him at wide receiver and this and that, and he's not going to have just one thing that he does all the time and blah, 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 right? Do you think that Bijan, and I asked Torrey McElhaney this too, do you think that Bijan Robinson can get over 735 receiving yards and set the Falcons' record for a running back? Day-Day, I'll ask you. You think he can get to 736 yards and break William Andrews' record of most receiving yards out of the backfield?
I definitely think he can do so out of the backfield, just because of the type of back he is and just the way this offense, the pieces that they have. I think there's going to be a lot of catches out of the backfield with this offense.
So with that, that may mean that his rushing numbers are down.
Yeah.
Because, again, Tyler Allgeier gets the bulk of the carries. They line up Bijan Robinson in different spots on the field to make sure that they keep him on the field, not just at running back, but make sure they keep him on the field. I could, I could see it. Now, that's a stout number even by today's NFL standards. You know, 735 yards in 17 games, and that's assuming he stays healthy, but over the course of seven games, it's 43 yards a game that he would have to average.
Well, you
and that doesn't sound like a lot, but over 17 consecutive weeks, it's a lot.
It is. But I think his, you know, because he's really, they really praise him for his ability to make players, defenders miss in the open field.
Right.
So I think what's going to be the yak, the yards after catch, that's right. What's going to be key for him, you know, to do that. And I think, I think he's going to be able to do it just because, to your point, they're going to move him around. So he's not going to always be just taking handoffs out of the backfield. He's going to be getting a lot of, I think he's going to be in a lot of pass plays.
So 735 yards is the record for the Falcons for receiving yards by a running back in a season. William Andrews also has the second highest mark with 609 yards in 1983. And then you get to Art Malone in 72 with 585 yards. And then you get into Devontae Freeman in 2015, the year before the Super Bowl. He had 578 receiving yards. And then John Settle actually in 88. So could he potentially? Yes. But boy, that's a stout number. And that means, and I'll say it like this. Let's just say that he averages, let's say he averages 10 yards per reception. Okay. All right. Well, that means he's got to have 70 catches. That's a lot for a guy out of the backfield to have 70 catches. And at the same time, are you taking away targets from Drake London and from Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith? Because Bijan Robinson has 70 plus catches, that means he's probably got 100 targets. He ain't going to catch everything that you throw at him. He's not going to catch 100% of the passes that are thrown at him. So that means he's probably got 100 targets. You think they target him 100 times in this offense? Because, again,
he's very possible.
And that's just if he averages a first down per reception. That's if he averages 10 yards per reception, which would be pretty good for a running back coming out of the backfield. They can get themselves 10 yards per reception. That's a pretty stout number. It's a pretty good number. So could he? Yes. Do I think that he will? No. I don't think he will truly get to that kind of number when all is said and done. He might be about 500 yards, you know, receiving or what have you. You know, and I could see that on 55 catches, 500 yards, three or four touchdowns. But, boy, almost 800 yards. I mean, 750 yards, I mean, in receiving. Like, that would be a pretty stout total. Now, again, that means somebody's not getting targeted in your offense. That means Pitts or London or Johnny Smith, somebody's not getting targeted because they're not going to huck it around 50 times a game or anything like that. It's not going to be like Matt Ryan when, you know, they'd get down and, you know, remember that that Arizona game where they had all the turnovers and all the crazy plays and Matt threw it like 57 times or something like that and they came back and won. So I don't know that there's that many targets to go around for everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know that there are enough targets to say, okay, Kyle's getting 100 and London's getting 100 and Bijan's getting 100. Like, I don't think that there's that kind of targeting that's going to be going on.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, that's why this offense is going to be exciting. If Desmond just goes out there and we've been hearing it, all the different guests you've had on, if he just goes out there and manages that offense, that's going to be an exciting offense to watch. So to your point, sure, a lot of targets, but that's a good thing. that's a really good thing.
But again, is it at the sacrifice of London and Pitts, though?
Well, I mean,
is it at Is it at the sacrifice of those two guys? Because I don't think that I would tell you that I wouldn't be surprised if neither of those guys gets 100 targets this year with how few that they will or how infrequent they will pass. Which would surprise me about if Bijan's getting 100 targets, and again, he'll have a higher catch percentage because the ball won't travel very far in the air. But I can't see them targeting Bijan Robinson 100 times in this offense, can they?
I mean, they can. I think the thing about it is this offense technically can be a matchup nightmare
right.
for almost every defense
right.
that they face. So I think it's going to be a matter of what defenses decide, okay, who are we not going to let beat us this week?
Right.
So I think that's definitely obviously going to play a role. But if you got Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Algier all on the field at the same time, as a defensive coordinator, you got your hands full as far as to say, okay, let's stop Drake. Let's make sure Drake's not, you know, who's drawing the weakest, you know, matchup as far as the offense is concerned. You know, that DC is going to have his hands cut out. And so I just think, you know, it's possible, but realistically, I just think ultimately this offense is set up to be a problem week in and week out.
Who are you going to have running out in the formations?
As far as on the Falcons, who's coming out? You got London, you got Pitts. You know, you got, depending on what you're doing, you got Algier. You can have Algier and Bijan. You know, you can switch it up because Cordell is still there, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of...
So what my point
is... I know where you're going is how is he going to get all those targets, yeah.
No, more than that, though. Here's what I'm thinking, though. This is why coverage sacks aren't a realistic thing.
Right.
Because you can't have all of those guys and somebody not be open in a short passing game.
Right.
And it's just impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ball's going to come out of a quarterback's hand quickly before he can get sacked.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can cover all of those guys.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And that's why I don't believe in, that's why I do not believe in coverage sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not 19. Look, if this were 1978.
Right.
And you had, whatever. I mean, let's go 81, 82. You know, again, William Andrews, Alfred Jenkins. I don't even know who the other wide receivers. But you didn't have five, six guys running all out in patterns.
Right.
You had very limited amounts of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was. That's how it was. So again, I think that's a stout number at the end of the day to be able. I think he'll get, you know, somewhere 550, you know, as far as receiving yards go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can get to 735. That's a stout number.
It's a big-time
number. So we'll see what happens. But obviously, you know, they're looking at him as maybe he can make a run at a kind of number like that. So, you know, it's not 1,000. So, you know, it's a stout number to get 735 in one season as a running back, and especially in – you know, yesteryear NFL where there weren't very many guys out running around out in patterns and things like that. Now everybody's running around.
Everybody,
in
yeah.
Yeah, everybody and their brothers running around
yeah.
in a pattern.
Only
and,
people.
And you get rid of the football quickly mm-hmm. because the pressure's breathing down your neck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, when we come back, we'll be time for That's Life. So Thailand has their answer to a sandwich that we talked about from last week. Plus our top 10 as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 1990 The Game, theodyssey.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios. 9:20. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMSH316. He's at D.D. Lewis. Do you remember last week, Day-Day, when we talked about at, Asian Burger Kings, that they were going to create a sandwich that had just 20 cheese slices between the bun? Okay. So Thailand doesn't want to be outdone in this whole thing. So on the international menu item from them, they are now creating a sandwich that... It's just all meat. It's three beef patties in between a hamburger bun, but customers can add as many patties as they want. So instead of just being all cheese, this is all burger. Burger King Thailand recently surprised burger fans with the real cheeseburger, a hamburger bun stuffed with 20 slices of American cheese Their next move, the Real Meat Burger, which is just like it sounds. It includes three beef patties in between a hamburger bun, and that's all. No pickles, no lettuce, no ketchup, no nothing. Just three patties. And they say you can add as many patties onto it as you want.
I feel like, wasn't there a triple cheeseburger or something like that before, though? I feel like three patties isn't an issue, but it's the fact that who would want to add anything more than that?
The Wendy's. Wendy's had a triple
stack.
Yeah,
I remember somebody had something, yeah. But why would you want more than that, though?
The basic version with three patties costs $9.79, according to a Facebook post from the official Burger King Thailand account announcing this silly menu item. The company added that customers can pile on as many extra patties as they want, with each one costing an additional $2.89. So
yeah, no thanks.
And they show pictures of like 100 patties stacked on top of one another and all this good stuff.
Who in their right mind what would be the point? You're not going to eat that. You're not going to eat that. What would be the point?
They're nuts. I mean, honestly, that's, again, it's just wackiness. So, tragic story, but again, Day-Day, we keep going back to these kinds of stories. So, a woman was found dead in Montana on Saturday after coming into contact with a grizzly bear on a trail just west of Yellowstone National Park. The Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks said in a statement on Sunday that the woman was found deceased on a trail near West Yellowstone, a Montana town nestled in the Gallatin National Forest, just west of Yellowstone National Park. They said the woman was found deceased following an apparent bear encounter based upon what investigators determined were grizzly bear tracks at the scene. The department said the investigation of the grizzly bear was ongoing. Yeah. They said rangers issued an emergency closure of the area where the woman was found, which is popular with hikers. Well, it ain't gonna be popular now. Though the woman's department statement said the death appeared to have followed the woman's interaction with the bear, it did not confirm her cause of death. The attack comes amid a rise of Montana's grizzly bear population and an increase in sightings. Well, yeah, and guess what? Where the bears are, you better watch. Because guess what? Some days you get the bear, some days the bear eats you.
Right.
And again, we don't know what this woman was doing, but these people at Yellowstone treat this like a zoo. Like, they treat this thing like it's a zoo. And these are wild, uninhibited animals that are out there. Like, why would you go hiking alone in Montana or whatever like that, in Yellowstone National Park, while knowing what's out there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But these people are just, they're wackos, man. I mean, honestly, that's the clinical term for what they have. Wackiness. They're wackos.
Yeah.
Can't go on trails like that alone, especially when there's water, and with no defense either. I mean, again, I don't know if she had pepper spray or, a gun, but anyway. These people are crazy for doing all this stuff, putting themselves in harm's way. All right, happy birthday today to Barry Bonds' birthday is today. One of my favorite baseball players of all time.
Yep.
Karl Malone's birthday is today. And J-Lo's birthday is today. Yes, the Jennifer Lopez. Does she just go by J-Lo now? That's not her legal name, is it?
No, no, no. She didn't do one of those deals. Okay. No, she's Jennifer Lopez.
Okay, she didn't have like a symbol or a sign or something like that. Okay, that's good. All right, so tonight's top 10, very easy. Your top 10 favorite J-Lo songs. I'm going to put Day-Day to the test. He's the music guy. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
Not so easy, because in all honesty, I don't have 10 J-Lo songs that are my favorite. But she's got some songs that I like. I don't know if you remember the song All I Have had LL Cool J featured on it.
You know what? I forgot to write that one down. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll add that one in.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool. Get Right. And a lot of these were from like her 2001 and 2002 albums, because mm-hmm. that's really the only time I even kind of paid attention to her musically.
Right.
If You Had My Love was, it was okay.
Yeah.
You know.
That was the first single released from... From the, I think, was that album called?
Was that the J-Lo album?
Yes, I think it was, yeah. Yes.
I don't know if you remember the song I'm Real. Again, it was that same time frame.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which album.
Who's the rapper that was on
Ja
that?
Rule.
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule,
yeah.
Was on that
Ja
one.
Ja Fool.
Yeah. Right. Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, she had I don't know if the original, because the Locks are on a version. I don't know if that's the original or, but the Locks are on a version. This was, was that Puffy... Dating Puffy era.
No. Remember, she was, well, in the video for Jenny from the Block, that's where she's on the boat with Ben Affleck. Remember the video for when she's on the boat
that's
with her
right.
buns exposed
yeah,
and
yeah.
all that?
But around that, but the so, and again, she's got a version of that with the Locks on. So I don't know if that's like a remix that was put out by somebody, but there is a version. But that's still kind of, her and the Puffy and then Affleck relationship back then, they were kind of close, weren't they?
Were they together?
Puffy and her? Yeah.
No, were Puffy and J-Lo?
Were
Puffy and Ben Affleck together?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
No, not that I know.
Maybe they were. I mean,
who
knows?
You know what? I think Puffy came after what's his name?
Listen,
Rodriguez.
It's very progressive, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, she was married to that guy, Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
Right? She was married. When
she was married
to
Mark
Anthony?
Because that's where they got. She's got kids with him, right? That's where her kids are.
No, her kids are with the dancer.
Oh, her kids are with the dancer?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it is either Jenny from the Block or If You Had My Love. Like,
right.
He was a dancer in one of those videos, and that's who she had the kids with.
Okay, well, Puffy was in that somewhere in
yes.
there. I can't remember where, but he was definitely in there. Because remember that whole club incident.
Well, he was with her when she... Remember that famous dress that she
yeah.
wore that was
yeah.
barely there?
Yeah.
He was with her when she wore that dress.
Yeah, and she was with him in that club incident where one of his rappers ended up going to jail.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then that's
yes.
when they kind of broke up.
Shocking.
After that. Yeah. All right, and then Love, Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have that one on there. But that's it for me, Chuck. I didn't rock with J-Lo like that. I'll be honest with you.
All right, so I've got Dance Again. Well, besides, what did we say, All I Have? I mean, that's the...
All I Have with LL, yeah.
So that song made my list as well. Dance Again, one of her better dance songs that she does. That's a good song.
Okay.
Play. What does it go? Play that song or whatever like that. That's another dance song.
Okay.
Of hers. Ain't It Funny?
I do remember Ain't It Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had Love Don't Cost a Thing as well. And I couldn't come up with 10, but, I came close though. I think I had 7 or 8. With your song, it's 8.
Okay.
Jenny from the Block.
Yeah.
And my absolute 2 favorite J-Lo songs. Waiting for Tonight.
Okay, I don't know that
and,
one.
And, Waiting for Tonight. Oh.
Maybe if I heard it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know that with that
okay.
song. That was a huge hit for her.
Okay.
And that was.
Oh, yeah, I do know which one you're talking about. Yeah,
that was.
It had more of the Latin flavor to
yes,
it, right?
That
yeah,
that was. That was like her 2001, 2002, because I can remember when my buddy and I had gotten divorced
mm-hmm.
and we started going out to clubs together.
Okay.
Because he'd never been as an adult in that. Well, I shouldn't say it. No, I don't want to say it like that. But he was footloose and fancy free. Once he got divorced,
gotcha.
We were going to like Rendezvous.
Gotcha.
And like that song was really popular around that time. And, you know, again, it was a real good dance song. And
right.
It was a big hit for her. And so that was kind of in our club Rendezvous days when
gotcha.
We were going out and hanging out. And he was first divorced. And so, because he'd seen me go out all those years, you know, while he was still married.
Right.
And then he got divorced and he's like, well, let me try some of this. So,
okay.
Anyway. And then my absolute favorite is, and Dance Again, by the way, is a song that features Pitbull. The other song that features Pitbull that's my absolute favorite is On the Floor.
Okay.
With Pitbull.
Okay.
So that's That's my favorite J-Lo song of all time. So hit us up with your favorites as well. When we get back, Tori McElhaney joined the show as we talk some Falcons foosball with her. As, believe it or not, coming up on Thursday, we start our training camp coverage. So the morning, what is it, the morning shaft?
Yep.
And the Chuck House?
Yep, they'll be there.
And Dandy and Randy?
They'll be there.
And they will all be at Flowery Branch for Falcons camp. And then Mike Bell and Carl Dukes, they will be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia, where they were last year.
Yep.
So if you're wondering where they will be at last year. And then where are we?
Here.
I can't. I'm reading all of the shows as to where they're at. So they're at camp, Dukes and Bell at Hooters. Did they just forget to put our remote down there?
No, it's here. It should be on there. We're going to be here.
What? Where?
We're going to be here. Here.
Holman and Finch.
No.
Oh, no, Saints and Council, our buddies over there, Saints and Council.
No, that would be nice, but no.
Oh, we're at the, what's that food court called?
Pala something, I don't know.
Palladium or whatever? Are we going to be there?
Palatin Row. No.
Oh, Palatin Row.
No.
Where are we going to be?
Here.
Huh. Okay, well.
Lovely confounds of here.
Okay, well. Yeah, we're definitely confined. Anyway. When we get back, Tori McElhaney, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're just a little bit over 60 hours away from the first official practice of the 2023 Falcons training camp. And, of course, we'll have all of your coverage Thursday, Friday, and then all of the following week. We'll be up there all weekend long, all week, and then we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline to talk to our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, @Tori_McElhaney. Tori, are you rested and relaxed and ready to go? Do you got your battery charged back up as we get ready for camp on Thursday?
I sure do. You know, I just got back from the beach with my family, so I think I'm ready. I say that every year, and then we get a week in, and I'm exhausted. So who knows? Ask me again in a week, and I'll tell you how I really feel.
and obviously it will be, you know, nice and hot and bright and, you know, all those good things up there. But, you know, Tori, one of the things about this defense especially is, you know, it feels like that there are not really much – there's really not much – competition just as far as kind of spots to be had. You know, I don't know if the second corner is in limbo or anything like that. I would assume that it's Okuda's job, but really it feels like defensively for the first time in a long time that this unit is pretty well set and they've got some depth and they've got some pieces and everybody kind of knows where they fit right now.
Yeah, I actually would agree with that. I mean, I think that's a byproduct of when you have money to spend in free agency, you can go out and get those big ticket players, and those big ticket players are going to be your starters. And so I think where we've been in the last couple of years before this past offseason, you really didn't have that. And so you had more competition just because you had a lot of guys on similar levels in terms of, you know, those mid-level veterans that they were bringing in on one-year deals. So there was a little bit more competition. But now if you bring in Jesse Bates and you bring in David Onyemata and Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree and all these guys, you know that they're going to be not only starters but heavily in the rotation. And so I really do feel that way. But the only position that I feel on the defensive side of the ball that has a little bit of competition is at nickel. I wasn't expecting there to be a huge competition between Mike Hughes and Dee Alford, but I really felt that way during OTAs in the spring and getting into May and June, that was one spot on the defense that I was really looking forward to seeing how it played out through training camp, because through OTAs, I felt like they were really pushing each other, and I was very, very surprised by that.
So, Torrey, as, you know, again, Bijan Robinson will be entering his first training camp for the Falcons, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a question. So do you think – so the Falcons' most reception yards by a running back in team history is 735 from William Andrews. I'm going to talk about this later on in the show. 735 yards from William Andrews in 1981. I'm going to ask you the question. Do you think Bijan Robinson could – achieve more yards than that, or do you think he will be under that number?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, if you're just going by like simple math, and over the course of 3 years at Texas, I believe he only had like 308 receiving yards total. So not saying that that's going to translate directly to, you know, what he'll do with the Falcons, but I do think because of the fact that Desmond Ridder does have a lot of options, I don't necessarily think that you can get to that high of a number if you're expecting Bijan Robinson to play a significant role as a true running back. And I do think that what you're going to see more of is see him more as a running back. I know, you know, everybody talks about how the offensive weapon that he is, but when I really look at this offense and kind of understanding that, okay, Drake London's going to be out there. Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson should have a bigger role in the pass game than he did last year when he was kind of out of necessity more of a featured back. I think he'll have more of an opportunity to look how he did in 2021 in terms of his usage. And you also have guys like Jonnu Smith that I think is going to fly under the radar, and Scotty Miller and Mac Hollins. I mean, all of these guys, I think you have so many options in the pass game that I do think that Bijan Robinson's going to get his catches and he's going to get his opportunities and targets. But I would be very surprised if it's that significant of a number.
Torrey McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So is the plan to start Matt Hennessy with the ones in training camp? I mean, that was kind of the theme about OTAs, and certainly Matthew Bergeron is probably going to get a look-see, but I wonder if they're going to work him in a little bit slowly. Would the plan be for Matt Hennessy to kind of start with the ones right away at left guard?
That's what I'm really thinking, is because when you look at Matthew Bergeron, I think that there's not a huge pressing need for him to like go in day one and be the starting left guard and they just run with him until the wheels fall off. Like, I don't necessarily think that that's the trajectory that you need to have with someone who is playing this position for the very, very first time. I think you ran into that issue with Jalen Mayfield, and I understood, you know, with Jalen Mayfield, it was a different set of circumstances and he was kind of forced into that left guard spot, and I think he was forced into it before he was ready for it. And I do wonder a lot if he would have been able to have a year under his belt where he actively was playing that position in practice every single day, how different it would have looked for him. And I think the Falcons wouldn't want to make that same mistake with a guy like Matthew Bergeron, especially when you have Matt Hennessy there who has that experience. Granted, it's not a whole lot of experience, but he has more experience there. He's older. He's been in the league for a minute. You don't have to force Matthew Bergeron into that spot if he's not yet ready for it. Give him time to grow and evolve as a specifically a left guard. I think you kind of look at the idea of what they did with Richie Grant. Richie Grant was a second round pick, but they didn't throw him out there in the very, very first year as a starter. They slowly morphed him into that role. Same thing with Troy Anderson last year. You see that they really put a lot in this idea of developing these second, third round picks and not just throwing them out there. And so I think Matthew Bergeron kind of falls under a very, very similar type of development path.
My concern is that I think Hennessy and Dolman are two undersized offensive linemen. And I feel like I can live with one of those guys if they're at guard or center. My concern is when they're arm in arm standing side by side with one another, those are two undersized guys that could potentially get pushed around. And, you know, again, that was part of the problem for Hennessy in his first year, was getting pushed backward. My concern is just when, if you line those two guys up side by side, that defenses are going to try to push this team right into the backfield, you know, with those two guys right up front.
Yeah, I think that's a valid concern. And I think my response to that is, if it's not working, then change it. You have somebody who you drafted to be a left guard. If it really feels like you don't have the right guy there, go ahead and put Matthew Bergeron there. You know, like, if he's okay in his development to be there, then okay, put him there. I don't think that it's this like do or die thing that if Matt Hennessy doesn't work out, that you don't have any other answer at left guard. I don't necessarily think that. And I also go back to last year with the fact that the Falcons at one point, I'm pretty sure, played four different guys at left guard in four different consecutive weeks. And they were fine. You know, they still ran the ball very well, and they still had the protection. And so I don't think that it's really that big of a deal that these two guys are undersized when you have seen in the past that they still were able to get the job done together. So any way you slice it, I'm just kind of like, it's okay for right now. And if it's not working, change it up.
Torrey, one of the other things that a lot of, you know, the pundits and stuff like that have written about and talked about is the idea of the Falcons need more wide receivers and things like that. And when I look at this offense, you know, I do feel like, though, that there are enough guys to catch the football, whether they're specific wide receivers or not, with Smith and Pitts and London and Scott Miller. Like, I think that they have enough pass catchers for a team that probably is not going to throw it, you know, obviously 600 times like Matt Ryan would. You know, again, I don't really see that as much of a concern. I mean, again, yeah, you'd always like to upgrade those spots, but I think they have plenty of guys who can catch the football no matter what position that they're actually playing.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you bring that up, because I was definitely in the camp of the Falcons need to draft a wide receiver. I think in every single mock draft that I did leading up to the draft, to even the like second and third round of the draft, I was like, okay, the Falcons are going to take I was dead set on the Falcons using one of their second or third round picks on a receiver. Mm-hmm. Every single time I said that they were going to, because that's what I felt like it was a significant need. I could not, on the roster, even with Scotty Miller and even with Matt Collins, like them going out in free agency and getting them, I didn't see a surefire wide receiver number two. You knew Drake London's wide receiver number one, and I couldn't see a wide receiver number two. I don't know if I still can, because we haven't really seen, you know, a separation after Drake London. So because of that, I was in that camp, like, oh, the Falcons need more receivers. They need receivers. They need receivers. But then they go get Bijan, and then they, you know, have Jonnu Smith, and they have Kyle Pitts, and they have Cordarrelle Patterson, and they have Tyler Allgeier. I agree with you. They're not hurting for pass catchers. And I think it's a situation with the way that this offense is constructed that wide receiver number two could actually be tight end number one, or tight end number two, or running back number one, or running back number two. You know, there's so many different things that you can do within this offense because you have guys who are versatile and can just catch the ball in different types of looks. And so for all of that being said, it's like, I agree. I don't think that wide receiver, kind of as the offseason went on, you got to see more and more about how these weapons were going to be used. It's kind of like they didn't need one.
So let's talk about the most important position on the football field, and that's quarterback. How do you think that they are going to work Taylor Heinicke in? Is it a clear Ritter is one, Heinicke is two? Is there some competition there? Will they kind of look at both guys? Will the reps be heavily weighed toward Ritter? Like, what's your sense or your kind of your feel for what's going to look, what the quarterback position is going to look like as we move into camp?
Yeah, I think this is Desmond Ritter's job to lose, honestly. I think that this coaching staff has been very, I don't know if adamant is the right word, but
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're just a little bit over 60 hours away from the first official practice of the 2023 Falcons training camp. And, of course, we'll have all of your coverage Thursday, Friday, and then all of the following week. We'll be up there all weekend long, all week. And then we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline to talk to our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at Tori underscore McElhaney. Tori, are you rested and relaxed and ready to go? Do you got your battery charged back up as we get ready for camp on Thursday?
I sure do. You know, I just got back from the beach with my family, so I think I'm ready. I say that every year, and then we get a week in, and I'm exhausted. So who knows? Ask me again in a week, and I'll tell you how I really feel.
and obviously it will be, you know, nice and hot and bright and, you know, all those good things up there. But, you know, Tori, one of the things about this defense especially is, you know, it feels like that there are not really much – there's really not much – competition just as far as kind of spots to be had. You know, I don't know if the second corner is in limbo or anything like that. I would assume that it's Okuda's job, but really it feels like defensively for the first time in a long time that this unit is pretty well set and they've got some depth and they've got some pieces and everybody kind of knows where they fit right now.
Yeah, I actually would agree with that. I mean, when you – and I think that's a byproduct of when you have money to spend in free agency, you can go out and get those big-ticket players, and those big-ticket players are going to be your starters. And so I think where we've been in the last couple of years before this past offseason – you really didn't have that, and so you had more competition just because you had a lot of guys on similar levels in terms of, you know, those mid-level veterans that they were bringing in on one-year deals. So there was a little bit more competition. But now if you bring in Jesse Bates and you bring in David Onyemata and Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree and all these guys, you know that they're going to be not only starters but heavily in the rotation. And so I really do feel that way. But the only position that I feel on the defensive side of the ball that has a little bit of competition is at nickel. I wasn't expecting there to be a huge competition between Mike Hughes and Dee Alford, but I really felt that way during OTAs in the spring and getting into May and June, that was one spot on the defense that I was really looking forward to seeing how it played out through training camp, because through OTAs I felt like they were really pushing each other, and I was very, very surprised by that.
So, Tori, as, you know, again, Bijan Robinson will be entering his first training camp for the Falcons, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a question. So, do you think – so the Falcons' most reception yards by a running back in team history is 735 from William Andrews. I'm going to talk about this later on in the show. 735 yards from William Andrews in 1981. I'm going to ask you the question, do you think Bijan Robinson could achieve more yards than that, or do you think he will be under that number?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, if you're just going by, like, simple math, and over the course of 3 years at Texas, I believe he only had, like, 308 receiving yards total. So not saying that that's going to translate directly to – you know, what he'll do with the Falcons. But I do think because of the fact that Desmond Ridder does have a lot of options, I don't necessarily think that you can get to that high of a number if you're expecting Bijan Robinson to play a significant role as a true running back. And I do think that what you're going to see more of is see him more as a running back. I know, you know, everybody talks about how the offensive weapon that he is, but when I really look at this offense and kind of understanding that, okay, Drake London's going to be out there, Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson should have a bigger role in the pass game than he did last year when he was kind of out of necessity more of a featured back. I think he'll have more of an opportunity to look how he did in 2021 in terms of his usage. And you also have guys like Jonnu Smith that I think is going to fly under the radar, and Scotty Miller and Mac Hollins. I mean, all of these guys, I think you have so many options in the pass game that I do think that Bijan Robinson is going to get his catches and he's going to get his opportunities and targets. But I would be very surprised if it's that significant of a number.
Tori McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So is the plan to start Matt Hennessy with the ones in training camp? I mean, that was kind of the theme about OTAs, and certainly Matthew Bergeron is probably going to get a look-see, but I wonder if they're going to work him in a little bit slowly. Would the plan be for Matt Hennessy to kind of start with the ones right away at left guard?
That's what I'm really thinking, is because when you look at Matthew Bergeron, I think that there's not a huge pressing need for him to, like, go in day one and be the starting left guard and they just run with him until the wheels fall off. Like, I don't necessarily think that that's the trajectory that you need to have with someone who is playing this position for the very, very first time. I think you ran into that issue with Jalen Mayfield, and I understood, you know, with Jalen Mayfield, it was a different set of circumstances, and he was kind of forced into that left guard spot, and I think he was forced into it before he was ready for it. And I do wonder a lot if he would have been able to have a year under his belt where he actively was playing that position in practice every single day, how different it would have looked for him. And I think the Falcons wouldn't want to make that same mistake with a guy like Matthew Bergeron, especially when you have Matt Hennessy there who has that experience. Granted, it's not a whole lot of experience, but he has more experience there. He's older. He's been in the league for a minute. You don't have to force Matthew Bergeron into that spot if he's not yet ready for it. Give him time to grow and evolve as a specifically a left guard. I think you kind of look at the idea of what they did with Richie Grant. Richie Grant was a second round pick, but they didn't throw him out there in the very, very first year as a starter. They slowly morphed him into that role. Same thing with Troy Anderson last year. You see that they really put a lot in this idea of developing these second, third round picks and not just throwing them out there. And so I think Matthew Bergeron kind of falls under a very, very similar type of development path.
My concern is that I think Hennessy and Dolman are two undersized offensive linemen, and I feel like I can live with one of those guys if they're at guard or center. My concern is when they're arm in arm standing side by side with one another, those are two undersized guys that could potentially get pushed around. And you know, again, that was part of the problem for Hennessy in his first year, was getting pushed backward. My concern is just when, if you line those two guys up side by side, that defenses are going to try to push this team right into the backfield, you know, with those two guys right up front.
Yeah, I think that's a valid concern. And I think my response to that is, if it's not working, then change it. You have somebody who you drafted to be a left guard. If it really feels like you don't have the right guy there, go ahead and put Matthew Bergeron there. You know, like, if he's okay in his development to be there, then okay, put him there. I don't think that it's this, like, do or die thing that if Matt Hennessy doesn't work out, that you don't have any other answer at left guard. I don't necessarily think that. And I also go back to last year with the fact that the Falcons at one point, I'm pretty sure, played four different guys at left guard in four different consecutive weeks. And they were fine. You know, they still ran the ball very well, and they still had the protection. And so I don't think that it's really that big of a deal that these two guys are undersized when you have seen in the past that they still were able to get the job done together. So any way you slice it, I'm just kind of like, it's okay for right now. And if it's not working, change it up.
Torrey, one of the other things that a lot of, you know, the pundits and stuff like that have written about and talked about is the idea of the Falcons need more wide receivers and things like that. And when I look at this offense, you know, I do feel like, though, that there are enough guys to catch the football, whether they're specific wide receivers or not, with Smith and
right.
Pitts and London and Scott. Like, I think that they have enough pass catchers for a team that probably is not going to throw it, you know, obviously 600 times like Matt Ryan would. You know, again, I don't really see that as much of a concern. I mean, again, yeah, you'd always like to upgrade those spots, but I think they have plenty of guys who can catch the football no matter what position that they're actually playing.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you bring that up, because I was definitely in the camp of the Falcons need to draft a wide receiver. I think in every single mock draft that I did, leading up to the draft, to even the like second and third round of the draft, I was like, okay, the Falcons are going to take. I was dead set on the Falcons using one of their second or third round picks on a receiver every single time I said that they were going to, because that's what I felt like it was a significant need. I could not on the roster, even with Scotty Miller and even with Mac Hollins, like them going out in free agency and getting them, I didn't see a surefire wide receiver number two. You knew Drake London's wide receiver number one, and I couldn't see a wide receiver number two. I don't know if I still can, because we haven't really seen, you know, a separation after Drake London. So because of that, I was in that camp, like, oh, the Falcons need more receivers. They need receivers. They need receivers. But then they go get Bijan, and then they, you know, have Jonnu Smith, and they have Kyle Pitts, and they have Cordarrelle Patterson, and they have Tyler Allgeier. I agree with you. They're not hurting for pass catchers, and I think it's a situation with the way that this offense is constructed that wide receiver number two could actually be tight end number one, or tight end number two, or running back number one, or running back number two. You know, there's so many different things that you can do within this offense because you have guys who are versatile and can just catch the ball in different types of looks. And so for all of that being said, it's like, I agree. I don't think that wide receiver, kind of as the offseason went on, you got to see more and more about how these weapons were going to be used. It's kind of like they didn't need one.
So let's talk about the most important position on the football field, and that's quarterback. How do you think that they are going to work Taylor Heinicke in? Is it a clear Ritter is one, Heinicke is two? Is there some competition there? Will they kind of look at both guys? Will the reps be heavily weighed toward Ritter? Like, what's your sense or your kind of your feel for what's going to look, what the quarterback position is going to look like as we move into camp?
Yeah, I think this is Desmond Ritter's job to lose. Honestly, I think that this coaching staff has been very, I don't know if adamant is the right word, but there's never been a question mark as to whether or not Desmond Ritter was going to be the starter after they said that he was going to be the starter. I think like that in terms of just like the competition, even Taylor Heinicke, I remember we sat down with him on his, after he signed, literally he signs on the dotted line, and he comes in and does these interviews, and he's like, you know, I'm going to be a good backup to Desmond Ritter, and if I have to go out there, I will go out there and do my job and do it to the best of my ability. Like, that's always been the language. And so I don't think that changes because of training camp. And I think this is, again, I think this is Desmond Ritter's job. He's been working with the ones. He's been prepping and practicing and doing all the things a QB1 should be doing in the offseason. So for me, it's without question that it's Desmond Ritter's number one, Taylor Heinicke's number two.
Tori McElhaney covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check her out on her personal Twitter page. It's @Tori_McElhaney, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Tori, as always, thank you so much for the time this evening. And listen, we look forward to camp getting started and chatting all season long.
You know, can't wait. Just ready for football season to be here.
Yeah, it's here. It's officially here. So thank you so much, Tori, as always. Chuck me in the Key Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.